Blog Talk Radio.
Hello world, it's time for RTWFC Bible Talk with Evangelist Lloyd Yearwood and his wife Betty Yearwood. For the next 2 hours, join in with us in this Internet Radio Bible Discussion program. There'll be a special singing and call in and discuss the Bible with us. And now here's your host, Evangelist Lloyd Yearwood, live in Madisonville, Tennessee.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's good to be able to come back once again into your homes, into wherever that you may be, just reaching the world for Christ. This is Evangelist Lloyd and Betty Yearwood. We're reaching the world for Christ. So I want to say that we had a great outpouring of the Holy Ghost services in Madisonville down here in the street. We had two real good nights. We had a lot of people to line up around the corners of the streets and things listening to us. So we just praise God for each and everything that was done there. We don't know what all was done, but God knows. And so if you want to be a part of this, call in on 310-742-1759. Call in there and be a part of this service with us today. It's on 310-742-1759, and we'll put you right on the line with us there and reaching the whole world for Christ. So just go ahead and call in, and we'll put you right on here with us. That's 310-742-1759. So the subject tonight is not forsaking the assembling yourselves together. As you know, we see in this day that we're living in that a lot of people are failing to assemble themselves together. They even though they claim to be a Christian, but God's Word said that we need to assemble ourselves together. So, you know, I believe tonight that if we're going to be a child of God, we're going to have to do what He says. You know, we're going to have to be obedient to His Word and do just exactly what He says. So I'm going to start out tonight by reading here in Hebrews 10 and 25. It says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. You know, we see this day approaching, and we look at it, and I was saying there on the live broadcast, I believe, I know I said it there in the street, that there was, I've never been to a church here to ever find them fighting about finding a seat. You know, there's always room in the house of God. There's always room for one more to get in. And, you know, my friend, tonight I'm asking you to come into the house of the Lord and listen to the house. Listen to the Word of God. Find you a good a faith-believing church, one that will preach the Word, one that will declare the Word of God, and stand on that promise of God's Word. You know, except we do that, we'll not make heaven our home. But I'm telling you tonight that we need to fail not to assemble ourselves together. We need to be obedient to His Word. And we need to hear what thus saith God. Let's look down here. Let's look into Psalms 122 and verse 1. This is David talking. You know, David made a statement, and I thank God for the statement that David made. He said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. You know, praise God. I'm glad tonight that whenever the Lord give us the opportunity to come into his house. You know, I believe tonight if you are a chosen vessel, if you've been washed in his blood and you've been saved by his marvelous grace, I believe you've got an opportunity. I believe you ought to have a desire to enter into God's house. If you don't ever have that desire to enter in, you don't ever have that desire to go to the Lord's house, my friend, there's something wrong. You got the wrong salvation or something, because the salvation that I have a drawing a spirit to enter in to God's house. I believe tonight, if we want to make heaven our home, I believe that we ought to have that desire to go into his house. I believe that we ought to be like David. I was glad when they said unto me, let's go into the house of the Lord. That's what we need to have that desire for, to enter into his house. If we don't have that desire, my friend, we need to go back to the altar and stay there until we get that desire. I tell you, there's too many today saying I'm a Christian, but they never want to enter into the church. There's too many today I want to tell you how to go and how to live, but they never enter in to God's house their own self. They've got a choice that they want to make. My friend, they'll say, well, I find an excuse for this church. I find an excuse for that one. But praise God, I tell you, it's a time that we quit finding excuses because God's word said, oh man, there's no excuse. And I believe it's a time that we enter into his house, enter in with his presence and his glory, enter in with upholding hands before God. I tell you what, there's too many today have got their minds made up. They think that they can just live any old way and do any old thing they want to do and go any old place they want to go. There was one over there in the book of Luke where that one there, whenever the Lord told them, there's a great supper fixed for them. They go out and tell them to come in, and they went out. The servant went out, and he went out and he started to tell them, and one of them said, I've married a wife, therefore I can't go. And the other said, I've bought five ox. I cannot go. I pray thee to be excused. He said, I've got to go and prove them. And the other one said, I've bought some land, and I can't go. I must go and prove it. My friend, they started making excuses, and they're still making excuses. Don't make that excuse. You need to make your life right. You need to get all the sins in the blood, and you need to make sure that you are on the right road, that you're doing the right thing, and that you're choosing the right way to go. I tell you what, I'm going to ask my wife here, I'm going to ask Betty to do some reading here for me. I want you to hear what the Word is saying. I want you to be obedient to this Word, because except you be obedient to this Word, my friend, you'll not make heaven your home. This is not Lloyd Yearwood. This is not Betty Yearwood. But this is what thus saith God. This is what the Word says. And we've got to be obedient to Him if we want to make heaven our home. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Numbers 10, 1 through 3 says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, make thee two trumpets of silver, and a whole piece shalt thou make them, that thou mayest use them for the calling of the assembly and for the journeying of the camps. And when they shall blow with them, all the assembly shall assemble together to thee at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation.
Praise the Lord. Whenever They blow the assemblies. God's word says that they all shall come to a congregation. They all should come, my friend, and be able to gather together to worship the Lord. I believe in spirit and truth. That's what it's going to take. Whenever God's word speaks, we're going to have to be able to hear what does saith the Spirit. The word said, them that have a ear, let them hear what the Spirit said unto them this day. Let them hear, my friend. And I believe God is calling you into his house. I believe he's calling every one of us an opportunity and calling us, saying, come into my house, that there might be a meeting in my house, that there it might be filled up. My friend, I'm going to tell you something. God is looking for people to come into his house to fill it. My friend, I'm going to tell you, if we stay out and we don't go in, we don't fill it. Our spot is sitting there empty. It's devoid. But my friend, I'm going to tell you something. Everybody's going to give an account one day after a while for everything that they've done, everything that they've said in this walk of life. Every idle word that we do, my friend, every time that we've had an opportunity to go into his house and we don't take it and don't go into it, we're going to give an account for that one day. And I don't want to give an account for just laying out. I want my friend to have an excuse that he will be pleased with. I tell you, there's too many today got excuses, but they're not working out with God's word, because God's word says, as I said a while ago, oh man, there's no excuse. God's not going to accept just anything. He knows your heart. He knows your need. And he knows what you are using for excuse. He'll know if it's going to pass or not. Praise God. Hallelujah. She's going to read some more.
Psalms 89, 1 through 7. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heavens. I have made a covenant with my chosen, have sworn unto David my servant, thy seed will I establish forever, and build up thy throne to all generations, Salah. And the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. For who in the heaven can be compared unto the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord? God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him.
Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, he's telling us there that he is, there's nobody that can be person with the Lord. There's no one, hallelujah, can be as good as the Lord is. And I'm going to tell you something, my friend, God is God, and he is the good, and he is the one, hallelujah, that will take care of us. He's the one, my friend, that is made, God has made a covenant with Noah, with Moses there, and my friend, he made that covenant, and he set it up, my friend, for us, hallelujah, that we should be taken over just like Moses was, or David was, I'm sorry, David, hallelujah, praise God. God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all men, all them that are about him. You know, praise God. I'm glad tonight to know, hallelujah, that God is grateful, and he is someone that we need to fear, and he is one, hallelujah, in the courting of his semblance, my friend, that he is the one, hallelujah, that we've got to look to. He's the one that we've got to look to offer and the finisher of our faith. He's the one, praise God, that we've got to know beyond every shadow of a doubt that he is the one, hallelujah, that's going to watch over us and take care of us. And we've got to be able to say, Lord, I'm glad that I come into your house. I'm glad, my friend, as David said there, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. I tell you what, I'm glad tonight, praise God, that we can go into the house of the Lord and worship the Lord in spirit and truth. I tell you what, God is sitting up there on the throne. He said that he seeks us to worship him in spirit and truth, for he is a spirit. My friend, God is a spirit in no other way that we can worship him tonight, but except we worship him in spirit, in truth. And I'm thankful tonight, hallelujah, that we have a great high priest that is touched by our affirmities. He's sitting up there on the throne, making intercession for you and I. And I'm glad tonight that we have a great high priest, hallelujah, that is willing to touch us and forgive us of our sins. He's willing to heal our bodies. He's willing, my friend, to deliver us out of all of our troubles, out of all of our headaches and our pains. God is willing, if we will call upon him, he will hear and he will answer. I thank God for that. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm going to ask Betty to read some more here. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Okay, Acts 1:1-8. The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandment unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith, he ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he saith unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth.
Amen. Praise God. I want us to think here just for a few minutes about this. Let's look again here in the book of Acts 1 and verse 1. It says, the former treaties had I made, O Theophilus, I can't even say that word, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. You know, Jesus began to teach this, and right here it says, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given a commandments into the prophets, apostles, who he had chosen. You know, he had chosen a bunch of apostles, and here, and praise God, just like he's chose us today. He's chosen you and I today, my friend, to deliver a message. Praise God, I wonder, a lot of times, you know, I know there's false prophets, false teachers, and false all kinds of things that's going on that is false. But praise God, I'm glad that there's a few out there that is still declaring the Word of God, still telling the truth about the facts of Jesus Christ and about God. Look into verse 3 there, and it says, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proof, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. You know, Jesus, I tell you, he appeared back there in one place of scripture to his disciples. Then Thomas wasn't there with him. But Thomas come in, and Jesus appeared through the walls to him. And Thomas, Thomas told Jesus that, I'll believe if I can touch the nail scars, if I can touch the pierced side. In other words, I won't believe except that you let me see them, let me touch them. And Jesus told him to touch him. And, you know, whenever he did, then Jesus told him, he said, blessed, Peter, are they that believe and yet not seen. We've got a blessing, my friend, tonight, that we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we believe that he was crucified, and believe that he got the nail scars in his hands, and believe, hallelujah, that he got the pierced side, and believe that he was buried in a tomb, and rose again on the third and appointed day, and he brought the captives that was in prison with him, brought them back out with him, and they seen him on the streets of Jerusalem. My friend, I'm going to tell you something. Jesus, he got a blessing for you and I. If we'll only believe, we'll only take a cure of what he says and do like he said. I want us to look into verse 4 there. In verse 4 it says, being established together, assembled together, let's see, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which said, he yet have heard of me. You know, assembled together, praise God. I tell you what, Jesus told them there, he said, go into the upper room, and you go up there and you stay there until you endure power from on high. You know, I praise God, they went up there, and there was about 120 of them, and Mary named in the bunch with them there, She was the Messiah's mother, Jesus' mother. She went up there with him, and they received the power of the Holy Ghost, the promise of the Father. I'm glad tonight, hallelujah, that we have that promise, and that we can, if we'll endure with it, we'll receive it. You look into Acts, second chapter, and starting in verse 1, it says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place." Hallelujah. You know, that's where they were all at. They were at one place, and they had their mind on one thing, just worshiping Jesus, just worshiping God. And then in verse 2 it says, "And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing and mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongue like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." You know, praise God. John truly baptized with the water, but praise God, Jesus coming after him was more mightier than him, whom shoes he wasn't able to stoop down and unlatch of. Praise God, he said, "There's one coming after me that is more mightier than I. He's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." And that's what happened there when the day of Pentecost was fully come. They all went up into the upper room. They all went up there together to stay with Jesus. But praise God, they stayed there until they received power from on high. And when they received that power, I praise God, I'm glad, hallelujah, that they received something, my friend, that God has done for them. They all received the power of the Holy Ghost. They all began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I believe we go on down through there and we can find where Peter said, "They're not drunk on the wine as you suppose, but they are filled with the Holy Ghost. They're drunk on the power of the Holy Ghost, not on the wine that you're thinking about, not on something that you drank, but this come down from the Father above. This come down from heaven." And I'm so thankful tonight that same power, that same thing is a falling tonight. The Holy Ghost is still coming down. I'm so thankful, praise God, that people are still being touched with it. Sunday night, we were up yonder in Rocky Branch Church of God in up next to Wallen, Tennessee. We was up there ministering, and we prayed for people, and the Holy Ghost come on the scene, and people was touched, people was shouting, and people was slayed out into the Spirit of God, and people were healed. I tell you what, praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. God come on the scene, my friend, and he showed up, and he showed out, you might say, but he touched people's lives, and he's still doing it today. Hallelujah. He done that Sunday night. I believe that Sunday night was the 28th of September, 2013. Hallelujah. And God is still God. He's still doing that same work that he said he would do if we would only believe and only trust him. Hallelujah. Praise God. I want to let Betty read some more here. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Acts 20, verse 7 through 11. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. And there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together. And there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep, and as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep, and fell down from the third loft, and was taken up dead. And Paul went down and fell on him, and embracing him, said, Trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him. When he therefore was come up again, he had broken bread and eaten and talked a while, even till break of day. So he departed.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now you see, praise God. You know, people today, they don't want to stay that long. They don't want to stay just a few minutes. They're more or less like a microwave. They want to run in and get just a little bit, just like a little dab will do. But my friend, they're not willing to stay. But this young man, he been there and he sloped down into deep sleep, and he fell out of the third story of the window, and he fell down there, and he fell down dead. But praise God, Paul got up and he went down there, and he laid down on the man, and he brought him back up there with his life in him. Hallelujah. I tell you what, God is still God. He's still doing that same thing today. He's still healing people. He's still setting people free. He's still delivering people out of their problems. My friend, I'm going to tell you something. God wants to touch you out there. He wants to bring you back up. He wants to raise you up. Hallelujah. There's people out there today that needs a touch of God. You need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You need to get into a good filled church, some or another, and fail not to assemble yourselves together, as like matters some is, as we see this day approaching. I tell you, it's a time that we really wake up ourselves and really realize that God is still God. He's still reaching out. He's still touching people. He's still calling you, my friend, today into his house. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's see. Romans 10 and verse 14. Hallelujah. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? How can they hear, my friend, today without a preaching, without the preacher declares the word of God unto them? Let's look into verse 15. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For he said, Lord, who have believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard yet? Yes, verily, their sound went unto all the earth, and their words unto the end of the world. You know, praise God, the word of God, my friend, is going across to every part of this world. They're going out, and this word is going to be preached all over the world for a witness. And whenever it is preached, my friend, for a witness, then there's one day that he's going to come back. He's going to catch his own out. My friend, it's time that we fail not to assemble ourselves. It's time, praise God, that we realize not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. You know, praise God, that's what we're trying to tell you. The day is approaching. It's soon running out. And my friend, they can't hear, they can't believe in whom they've never heard. And that's what we're trying to do, is send the word out across this land, across this our waves, and across the computers, to tell you that you must be born again. You must call upon him if you want to make heaven your home. Praise God, it's time and a high time that you turn your life over to the Lord. It's time that you say, Lord, forgive me for not going to the Lord's house. Forgive me for not being in your presence. But praise God, it's time that people start crying out to God and repenting of the things that is hindering them, the excuses that they make. My friend, I'm going to tell you the excuses that people make not going to work. Praise God, I tell you, it's time that people rebuke the things of this life and put God first. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I think I'll go to a song here now and let Tim sing. And if you're here tonight, you want to call in on 310-742-1759 and be a part of this with us. We'll be glad to put you right on the line with us. Just worship the Lord in spirit and truth. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
I've got to get up, get out, get out, got business. There's no doubt, I'm sold out. Determined, come what may. I'm gonna help someone who hasn't heard. Gotta do my part to spread the word. Gotta get out, get about God's business today. I'm happy in the Lord, as anyone can be. He filled me with his spirit and keeps on blessing me. Oh, look at what the Lord has done. He turned my life around. With this much joy inside of me, how can I just sit down? I'm going to get up, get out, get about God's business. There's no doubt I'm sold out, determined come what may. I'm going to tell someone who hasn't heard. Got to do my part to spread the word. Got to get up, get out, get about God's business today. Can I get a witness of what the Lord has done? Has anybody in this place been walked by the blood? Oh, if he's done a work in you, got to tell somebody. You can't keep to yourself. I've got to get up, get out, get about God's business. There's no doubt I'm sold out, determined come what may. I'm gonna tell someone who hasn't heard. Gotta do my part to spread the word. Gotta get up, get out, get about God's business today. You gotta put tea to your face with your hand to the plow. You've got to make a difference in the here and now.
I see we've got a couple of call-ins here, so 706, come out and tell us who you are and where you're at.
Hey there, brother. This is Brother Tony Garcia from Dalton, Georgia, brother. How y'all doing tonight?
We're blessed. We're doing great. Let me get these call-ins right here, then I'll get you on the line there, brother.
All right, brother.
423, come in and tell us who you are and where you're at.
Yes, this is Wesley Choplin from Cleveland, Tennessee.
Oh, okay, brother. Just hang in there with us there for a minute, and we've got another preacher there in front of you, then we'll get you right on there to obey the Lord. 937, come in and tell us who you are and where you're at.
Yeah, this is Brother Green here in Springboro, Ohio. It's just good to be with you. Can you hear me, Brother Yearwood?
Yeah, I hear you there good, brother.
Okay.
Let me get Brother Tony on there, and Brother Choplin, and then we'll get you on there, Brother Green.
Okay.
Brother Tony?
Hey, brother. I'm on the back road right now, traveling a little bit. So if I lose connection, you know, please forgive me. I'm sorry, brother, but I just want to say I love the Lord tonight, and I just want to obey the Lord for a minute. We're talking about coming together in assembly with God. Amen. And, the Bible says, "Well, or two or three guys together in His name, He will be there in the midst, church." And I believe, church, if we can get together in His name, amen, then God, when we come together to the house of God to obey the Lord and come together in His name with one mind and one accord, not bickering against each other, not talking bad about each other, not having our mind set on other things, but having our mind set on God. I believe God can do mighty, amazing things in the house of God, church. And the Bible also says, Jesus said that He's God is looking for those that worship Him in spirit and in truth, church. So I believe, church, when we come to the house of the Lord, we need to prepare ourselves, church, to get ready to be in the spirit, to get ready to worship God in the spirit. Not in the flesh, get your mind off of fleshy things, get your mind off of worldly things or finances, situation, and just get your mind focused on hearing the word of God, focus on what God can do, focus on worshiping God, and just serving Him, and just pouring our hearts out to God. When we come to the house of church, God, when we come to the house of God, church, we just need to just come willing to pour ourselves out to God, and come willing to obey God, and have our mind set on God. You know, our situations need to be on the outside of the door or at the altar, church. If we got our situation on our mind, we need to be praying. We need to be doing something about it and giving it to the Lord, church. Because when we come to the house of God, I believe it's time. That's where God wants us to focus on Him and obey Him and get together one mind and one accord and one spirit, church, and just worship God. And when we all come together, we worship Him with one heart, amen. And I believe God, that just puts a big smile on God's face, and it just, You know, Brian, you know, I believe it just pleases him whenever his children come to his house to worship him. You know, it's all about making a sacrifice for God. It's all about obeying God and doing his will, because all of us can choose to sit at home on the couch or in the bed. But when we make that willing sacrifice, like, God, I have a desire to serve you. I've got a desire to be in your house. I've got a desire to worship you. I believe that that's when God begins to move. God's heart begins to move with compassion. He begins to move in our life. And I
Amen.
Believe when we come to the house of God with our hearts and mind ready to worship God, God's Spirit will move and the Holy Ghost will move, and you'll see some chains broken, see some people delivered and set free and saved, and you have a Holy Ghost filled service when we come to the house ready to worship, church. But I praise the Lord tonight. I believe I'm about to leave service tonight, but y'all just pray for us that we'll do whatever the Lord's will. And we'll just obey God, and we'll pray for you, and pray for we'll be praying for Brother Green as he preaches this week in Ohio. And we love each and every one of you ministers, and we're always praying for you. And God bless you all, brother. Appreciate you, Brother Lloyd.
Yeah, appreciate you, Brother Tony. I'm glad you called in there. So I'm going to let Betty read these prayer requests here, and we've got a prayer request come in off the line, so we need to get them made an answer there. Praise the Lord.
Tanya Honeybee has called in and says, please pray for my husband. He has left me and moved out of the state, and she needs God to move on him and save his lost soul. His name is Jeff. And remember John Samples and his family tonight. Brother John usually gets on here with us, so let's just remember him. Remember Brother Eddie tonight. He's been having problems with his back, and let's remember Sister Lynchfield that comes on with us.
Praise the Lord. Let's remember these prayer requests. They're serious, and you know, it's more than just saying it. We need to take them before the Lord and believe God to meet their needs. So, Brother Chaplin?
Yes, sir.
Just go ahead and obey the Lord there, brother. Then the subject tonight is not forsaking the assembling ourselves together. So just go ahead and obey the Lord.
Thank you, Brother Lloyd. God is so good to us as his children.
Amen.
He
Amen.
Wants us to assemble ourselves together to be blessed, to have the favor of God. Do you know any other time of man that we need favor from God? It's today. We
Amen.
Need the hand of God upon our life. And if we don't
yes.
assemble ourselves together in the house of the Lord, then we will not have the favor of God on our life. We know Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob had the favor of God upon their life. And it was because they acknowledged the true Savior in their day, which was God Jehovah. We have Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as our
Amen.
Savior today. As I look, as Paul writes in Galatians, speaking to that church at Galatia, he tells us in chapter 6 that we are not to be weary in well-doing, for let us do good unto all men. He says, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. That's
Amen.
The favor of God, is that we cannot faint when we're doing good. Going to the house of God, paying your tithe, or giving your offerings to the Lord, you don't have to faint because you know that God has a blessing for you. The old song says, I need a blessing. Oh, Lord, send me a blessing. Well, he'll give us a blessing when we attend his house, when we give unto him, when we bless his holy name. And Paul is writing that in chapter 6, verses 9, 10. And he says this also in verse 10 of Galatians 6 and 10. As we have, therefore, opportunity. I'm glad in America we have opportunity to go to the house of God like we are here tonight, assembled
Amen.
On the internet, to hear others speak, others to be a blessing to us in the body of Christ. For it says, let us do good unto all men. What God's word teaches us is to show the love of God, to do good unto all men. He says, especially unto them who are of the household of faith.
Amen.
Now, if we don't assemble ourselves together in the house of the Lord, how are we going to show others that love in the house of faith? We will not be able to show love to our brothers and sisters if we fail to attend the house of God. If we fail to gather together as a unity, a body of Christ, we will not be able to show the love that Paul was talking about here, especially to those that are of the household of faith. He said to take that opportunity and let us show that good unto all men. Well, we can not only show good to our brothers and sisters, but the center down there at Walmart. When you're giving them your money, when you've made your purchases, smile at them and say, God bless you. You don't know what kind of door that might open up. To speak to someone and say, God bless you. Eventually, conviction will fall upon that cashier. Maybe they haven't been to the house of God in a while. And you can use that personal testimony of just simply saying, God bless you, to open up someone's heart to God so that they say, you know, I haven't been to church in a while. I need to go to church. Thank you for saying God bless you to me. I've been not going to church or to the house of God, and you have sparked my interest to go to the house of the Lord. I think of the book of Revelation, chapter 3, where there is the church of Laodicea. He said, he knew our works, that they were neither cold nor hot, but that he would that we were cold or hot. So then, because thou have become lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. And that's what God's word is saying to us today. If we refuse to honor God in the worship service, if we refuse to go to the house of God, we let our feelings get in our way, we let our circumstances dictate what we do in this life, we will become cold and indifferent with God. He can deal with the lukewarmness. He would that we would be lukewarm, but he would rather that we be hot. Amen. Or cold, not lukewarm, but hot. He does not want us lukewarm. He wants us hot or cold. And those that are hot, God will bless. God will give favor, as Paul said in Galatians chapter 6. He would that we be blessed and be increased with goods in our life, not beyond putting God first. Oh, no, because that's what this scripture is talking about. Men who have put the things of this world in front of God Almighty. But God says, I want you to put me first, and I will bless you second. If we will be able to do that, bless God first, he will bless us second. And then he'll add all things unto us. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 tells us, to seek first the kingdom of God in his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto us. May we continue to worship the Lord this telecast or broadcast today. Amen. God bless you.
Praise God.
Praise the Lord. We appreciate you, brother. I'm glad you called in. And just,
all right.
Just stay in here, and we'll use you again directly.
Okay.
Just hang in there. Brother Green?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm here, Brother Yearwood.
Go ahead and obey the Lord there.
Okay, I don't have a whole lot tonight. We just come in from town, and but I know your broadcast is on assembling yourselves together, and I want to turn over here to, I'll probably read that scripture first, over here in chapter 10. Okay. Thank the Lord for being on here.
Amen.
It's good to be able to speak for the Lord and to lift up our voice. I'm thankful to be in a country where we can do that, that we can, you know, we can shine the gospel light and keep the word of God coming out over the airwaves. And it's a blessing to be able to do that, that the government is not coming in and stopping us. And we don't know how long we're going to have the liberty, and the door will be open for us to preach the gospel. So we better preach while we can and tell the good news to the world that's lost out there, and try to encourage the ones that are saved to keep on keeping on. And that's what going to the house of God is all about. One of the things is when we assemble ourselves together, while we get strength from one another. And the Bible said to pray one for another, that you may be healed, and that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So we pray one for another, and we can be in close contact with one another. We know what's going on. You know, it used to be a day that they didn't have telephones, But today we got so many gadgets, you might say, telephone, and we've got radio, we've got TV, and we've got many things that keeps people out of the house of God. We got things today that people can jump on the telephone and they can broadcast bad things on the telephone. And if somebody makes a mistake, you know, instead of praying for them, where the Bible said pray one for another that you may be healed, well, a lot of times they may get on there and run that person down, and they may not only tell what they did wrong, but they might add to it, and they might, you know, spruce it up, you might say, and make it look bigger than what it really is. And many people have been ruined that way, and they've been discouraged about going to the house of God.
Amen.
And they feel ashamed to go sometimes because they've maybe fallen into sin and been overcome by sin. Excuse me. But you see, people get in the traps of the devil sometimes, and it's not always their fault, you know. When we was first saved, we wasn't, you know, we was on top of the mountain for a little while. But, you know, later the trials and tribulations came, and we needed, no doubt, many times, praise God, I'm troubled talking, but many times we have needed someone to pray for us. And the Bible tells us, you know, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And sometimes people sick, and they might not be sick in body, but they might just be sick in their spirit. They might not be just like they need to be. You know, the devil's trying to put condemnation on God's people. And the Bible tells us over there in Romans chapter 8 that there is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. So we must continue to walk after the Spirit. And if we have trouble in our walk with God, if we stumble and fall and get down and, you know, made mistakes and maybe sinned against God, then we need to come back to the Father's house and thinking, you know, that man in the far country, you know, had gone and he had left the Father's house, but that young boy had went out there into sin, and he had been out there in the hog pen, and he'd wasted all of his living, and he had was ruining his life in that kind of a lifestyle. And he had left the Father's house, and, you know, there's many that have left the Father's house because they got out in sin. But, you know, you need to come back to the Father's house. And, you know, that
Amen.
Young man come to himself one day and he said, I need to go back to the Father's house. He said, there's my father's got plenty to eat. You know, there's things on the Father's table tonight. There's plenty of food. You won't go hungry in the Father's house, and you'll get fed, you know. And I've thought about, you know, the Lord called him to I believe it was a wedding or a supper one time. And they came in. One man came in, didn't have on a garment. He didn't have on the proper garment. But you know what? There was one available for him. He could have put it on. But I guess he didn't want to put it on because maybe he was stubborn. He might have thought, well, what I got is good enough. But see, what we got tonight ain't good enough. We need to do it God's way. And I say we'll find out how to do it God's way when we go to the Father's house and we get in the service of the Lord and we hear the preaching of the Word of God. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So the Word of God is being preached, and we're learning. And the Bible said we grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? You know, many times, if you can get somebody to the house of God, you know, I was thinking, we got a young preacher. He ain't all that young, but he's new to us, and he's probably in his 40s. But I said to my wife, I said, if we can get them in the house of God, if we can get them to come, the Lord will save them, I do believe, because, you know, I've never seen it fail. This man preaches, and there's conviction there. There's conviction in the altar call, and people are being saved. And it's a lot of young people, but, you know, we need some older people to get saved, and we
Amen.
Need people to come in to help support the ministry, to help keep the doors open, to keep the lights a-burning, and, you know, to pay the mortgage or whatever it is that your church may have. You need people coming in and help carry the load and work, you know. The Bible tells us to work while it is day, for the night's coming when no man can work. And, you know, I said a minute ago I was going to read, but, you know, I ain't read yet because the Lord's dealing with me to say these things tonight. If you're out there, if you're a backslider, if you've gone away from the Father's house, I want to encourage you tonight to come back to the Father's house, to get back and right standing with God. And whatever the Lord wants you to do, do it. You know, I think it was Mary told him there at the wedding supper, said, whatever he tells you to do, do it. And I tell you, if we come to God's house and we're willing to be humble as a little child, we're willing to humble ourselves and do whatever it is the Lord wants us to do, and we'll get rid of our stubborn ways and our stubborn attitudes, then I believe God will really do a work in our heart. And
Amen.
He'll take out that stony heart, and he'll give us a heart of flesh, and he'll give us a heart as a little child. Praise God. He said, except you become humble as a little child, he said, you cannot make it to heaven. Praise God. He told there in the Bible where it tells how that he took a little child. They was asking him who was the greatest in the kingdom, and he took a little child and set him in the midst. Praise God. He said, except you become humble as this little child, he said, you cannot be my disciple. You can't make it to heaven. You can't be a Christian. Praise God. See, we have to have a change of heart. And I tell you, it was in the house of God where I got my heart changed. It was through the preaching of the gospel. He said, how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? I tell you, preaching, it's foolishness to the world. But I tell you, he chose it to save the lost. It's the preaching of the word of God, and it's the preaching how that Christ died on that cross for our sins. Praise God. I want to try to read this. Praise the Lord. And somebody's probably already quoted it tonight, and maybe some have already preached on it. I'm not sure. It's in Hebrews. This is the subject tonight that we're preaching. In Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And I was looking there, Brother Yearwood, at that last part. It tells us to exhort one another, but it also says, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Well, I believe we can see the day approaching when the Lord's coming back. I believe we can see
yes.
that Christ is coming again. We can look at the signs of the times, and we've never really, in the United States of America, have really ever been in a time like we are today, I don't believe. I mean, we've gone through wars and things like that, but we've got to a place now that it seems like the government don't even know what to do, and it's confusing to the people when the government shuts down, and, you know, that's kind of embarrassing, I think, in the eyes of the world, when you got a government and a country that's so powerful as the United States, and they turn around and they shut the government down because they can't agree with one another. Well, if we're not living in the last days, I don't know when we're going to get there, because we can see all these things coming to pass. And the Bible said, as it was in the days of Noah, So I was looking at that last part there, Brother Yearwood, and says, so much the more as you see the day approaching. And I'm thinking he's talking about the day of the coming of Christ when the world's going to behold him a-coming, and every eye will see him. And the Bible said one day they that pierced him is going to look upon him, and every knee's going to bow, and they're going to say, yes, this is Christ. But to many, it's going to be too late. I'll tell you, the time now is to worship him now and exhort one another today while it is called today, while we have a day to worship him in, and a day of salvation. And see, we're living in the day of salvation. We're living in the day of grace, and we thank God that we can be saved, that the door of mercy is open tonight, that whosoever will can come. He sent them first to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and to try to get them to accept Christ, but they didn't accept him. And Bible said they refused him, and they nailed him to that cross. Praise God. Over here in Hebrews chapter 9, in verse 27-28, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. You know, I was thinking about that, Brother Yearwood, the reason Christ went to that cross. They didn't receive him, and they crucified him and put him on that tree. And there in verse 27, chapter 9, says, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. You see, Christ, he bore our sins on the cross, praise God. And he bore our sins the first time. He went to that cross. He never sinned, but he did bear our sins. He carried them to the cross, praise God. And they nailed him to that tree, and according to, I believe it's Ephesians, our sins were nailed to that tree. And Christ bore our sins in his own body. And the Bible said the last part of that, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Well, you see, the first time he had bore our sin and carried our sins away. But the second time he's not gonna be carrying no sin. That sin's washed away. The blood of Jesus has washed away the sin, praise God. And I'm so glad, just like they took that scapegoat out there in the wilderness and led him out there, praise God, and they laid their hands on that goat and prayed over that goat. They laid on that goat, spiritually speaking, the sins of the whole nation of Israel. And now whosoever will can come, and our sins has been carried away, praise God. And he's going to appear the second time without sin unto salvation. And those that have no sin in their life is going to be saved, praise God, because their sins have been washed away, praise God. And I'll tell you, it was in the house of God where I got my sins washed away. It was kneeling at the foot of the cross and where the gospel was preached, praise God. And I'll tell you, there's still salvation today in the house of God. We're two or three are gathered. I think Brother Tony said earlier, we're two or three are gathered in his name. He said he's there in the midst of them. You know, we could have church out under a tree somewhere, or in a park, or on the riverbank, you know. But wherever we are preaching the name of Jesus, and we're telling the old story, praise God, that never grows old. Praise God, the Lord will be there in the midst of us. Praise God. Well, I'm going to turn it back to you, Brother Yearwood. It's been good to be on here with you. God bless y'all.
Praise the Lord. Appreciate you there, Brother Green.
Thank you.
Brother John? Well,
here.
You in there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. I just want to tell you there, we'll get with you there just in a minute. Right. I'm going to check to see if Sister Joanne's got anything. She's got anything to say there. Sister Joanne?
She said she didn't have nothing tonight, Brother Yearwood.
Okay.
Thank you, Brother.
Appreciate it.
All right.
Okay, then, Brother John.
All right.
Go ahead and pray the Lord there.
Preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, and our subject is forsaking not yourselves, but assembling yourselves together, as the manner of some is. But we have to find out, you know, the Bible says in that same chapter, you have to start with verse 23. It says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. As he has faithful, we need to be faithful. One of the things is that we've walked away from our faith in the house of God. We've walked away from our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're no longer holding on to that profession of faith. Amen. We're walking away from our profession. And then the Bible says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and the good works. There's the one thing that we are to consider by the writer of Hebrews, that we are to consider one another. We're to refer one another. And so as we prefer one another, there's a revoking, there's a moving to move other people into love and the good works. And as we move one another into love and good works, one of the things is, the first thing we got to do is, it's just like it's saying, that they begin, how can we, if we are forsaken, if we're not gathering together, how can we consider one another? How can we provoke one another to love? We won't even gather in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, tonight I want to deal about this verse 26, also that part of it. He says, if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. In other words, that's a sin against the Spirit. That's a sin that, amen, that there's no more sacrifice. There's no more Jesus, amen, as we willfully sin. In other words, we willfully stay away from our faith. We willfully stay away from the Lord Jesus Christ. We willfully stay away from the Father's house. Hallelujah. You know, the prodigal son, while he was outside the Father's house, amen, he couldn't expect the protection of the Father's house. But the Bible says when he came to himself in Luke chapter 15, amen. Tonight, church, we need to come to ourselves, amen, amen. We need to counsel, amen, and commune, amen. We need to be like meditate day and night, as it says in Psalm chapter 1. Tonight, I want to speak to you in the next few moments about ever learning but never able, never arriving to the knowledge of truth. And 2 Timothy chapter 2, starting with verse 19, it says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. In other words, the foundation of God will always stand, is standing on the cornerstone of Jesus Christ. Amen. That's laid in there. He said, I lay in Zion a tried stone, and in that foundation has this seal. In other words, it has the signet ring, or it has, amen, actually it's a mark that identifies that this is my foundation, this is my, amen, in the scriptures, amen, spiritually, the apostles were a part of the foundation, Jesus Christ was the chief cornerstone, the apostles were the foundation, amen, and we need to know, amen, as this church begin to come out, amen, and be built upon the apostles' doctrine and upon the chief cornerstone, Jesus Christ himself being the head cornerstone, we need to know as it comes from there, God knows who belongs to him. God knows who is his possession. Jesus Christ knows who are his. We need to, amen, we need to know that we're in that foundation, we're in that church, we're in that the house of the Father. But the Bible says in verse 20, but in the great house are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. He says, if a man therefore purge himself from these, in other words, from these vessels, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. There's a preparation, but you have to be purged. You have to be cleansed, amen. You have to be separated and sanctified from these vessels. There's all kinds of vessels in the house, great house, the Bible says. You have to understand, amen, some will be more worth than all. But the thing about a vessel is it's not necessarily what it's made out of, but what's in the vessel. And tonight, amen, the children of God, the men and women of God, the children of God are vessels of honor, amen, because it's what's in the vessel that brings honor. And what's in a vessel of the Lord Jesus Christ is his Spirit. Hallelujah. As we are presenting ourselves a willing vessel tonight that has been sanctified and set apart, are very, are the, this vessel, every vessel that belongs to the Master, every vessel, amen, is prepared unto honor because it has, it's fit for the Master's use. When the Spirit of the Lord comes down in the vessel of honor, amen, we got to purge ourselves. We got to cleanse ourselves, amen. In other words, and that comes through the Word of God. That comes by the Spirit of God. Verse 22, and Brother Green was talking about this, because what happens is many, amen, hallelujah, many, amen, walk away because, it says in verse 22, flee also youthful lust, hallelujah, that follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Hallelujah. Tonight it tells us to flee youthful lust. You have to understand tonight that there are three things against, that are enemies of God. The lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. These are of the world and not of the Father. These are the enemy, amen. The Bible says when a man is drawn away by his own lust, no man can say he's tempted, but he's drawn away by his own lust, his own inordinate desire tonight. And he said when lust is conceived, it brings forth sin. When sin brings forth, it brings forth death. For the wages of sin is death tonight, church. We need to know, amen, that the Bible says, that it says, verse 23, amen, that the follow after this righteousness, follow after the faith of Christ, follow after the righteousness of Christ, follow after charity. This is agape love and peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. There's a following, and there's things we have to flee, amen. But you know what? We can't be like the prodigal son going after this thing and going after that thing and wandering around all over the world. We need to know tonight that wandering is a curse, amen. Wandering and going away from the Father's house, amen. You know, we used to sing a song years ago, come home at supper time, amen. But you know what? We don't want to come home. We have a desire not to come to the house of the Father. We have a desire to say that we will not have this man rule over us. We have a desire because what has happened is it's not a gathering of families anymore, but it's a separation. Amen. Because you know what? He came to bring, amen, hallelujah. Just like that brother Eddie brought out last week, he came to bring us into a unity of faith. Hallelujah. That great power when they were in one mind and one accord in an upper room waiting for the promise of the Father. Amen. They had to be in one mind and one accord. And we need to know tonight, hallelujah, hallelujah, that as it goes on, it says, but foolish and unlearned questions of will, knowing that they do gender strifes. Not only strife, they bring strife to the world. As the Bible says, the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. What this happens is these unlearned questions. Some of you, amen, some of you want to find more knowledge. Some of you, you know, the Bible says in the latter days that they were gathered unto themselves teachers, and they had itching ears. In other words, there are many of you, amen, tonight that have an itching for knowledge. And you want more knowledge. You think, why not? But what happened, amen, what happens when you come to a knowledge of evil? There was a tree in the midst of a garden, and God had instructed them, the Heavenly Father had instructed them not to eat of that tree, and neither shall you touch it, but in the day you do, thou shalt surely die. Amen, and hallelujah. What has happened is men have died because they've come to a knowledge of evil, and men are dwelling, and amen, and gathering themselves more together, more knowledge, but that knowledge is knowledge of evil. And he said, in the day, Satan even said, in the day that you eat thereof, your eyes will be open, and you'll be as gods, little gods, pagan gods. In other words, we're coming in, amen, and you will walk away thinking that you don't need the one and true living God tonight. But the Bible says, amen, in meekness, verse 25, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. Remember what I said over there, that the Bible says, amen, that he that willfully sins, after he received the knowledge of truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice. After we receive the knowledge of truth, you need to know tonight there's only one truth tonight, brothers and sisters. And the Bible says in John chapter 14, verse 6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Amen. Jesus Christ is truth. When he was before Pontius Pilate, amen, Pilate asked him, he said, what is truth? The Lord Jesus Christ is truth. The Word of God is truth tonight. And the Bible says he will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. You need to know tonight that one of the main reasons why people do not come, amen, to the house of the Father, because they fell in the snare of the devil who has taken them captive
amen.
At his will. Amen. He's taking you away. The Bible says you cannot eat at the table of the Lord and the table of devils. You need to know tonight you can't sit at two tables. Amen. Hallelujah. Just like Brother Green said, we got some people, amen, sitting at two different tables. Amen. And that's what's happening, amen, in the realm. Amen. Some of you are not wanting to sit at the Father's table, but I don't know about you. But tonight I don't want to be anywhere else. When Jesus said in John chapter 6, except you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you have no part of me. Amen. And I'm talking about a spiritual realm. He said, the words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Tonight you need to know, amen. Hallelujah. That every word of God that proceeded out of the mouth of God, that's how you live. It doesn't matter tonight whether you're a believer or not. That spiritual principle is for all those. The Bible says, know ye not that ye are the temple of the living God. Tonight you need to know, brothers and sisters, amen, whether you're listening, whether you're a believer or an unbeliever tonight, every one of you is a temple of the living God. You were made, amen, the house, the Holy Spirit of God to come down on the inside. And tonight, if the Holy Spirit is not sitting on the front of your life, you need to know and you need to look and examine your life, because more than likely, the abomination of desolation is sitting upon the throne of your life. And you need to know that in the latter days, Daniel saw it and he said, the abomination of desolation sitting on the temple of God. I'm talking about you are the temple of God. And many things, the abomination of desolation is sitting on the throne of your life and the ruling of your life. And you need to check who's sitting on the throne of your life. It's either you, the devil, or the Lord Jesus Christ. And you need to examine yourself and know who's sitting on the throne of your life tonight.
Amen.
The Bible says, going down to chapter 3, says, this know also, that have a knowledge, know this, that you've received the knowledge of truth. Know this, that you've been in the snare of the devil. Know this, that you've been taken captive at his will. Hallelujah. Your will is not even being done. It's not about your will tonight. The Bible says Jesus, when he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, "Let if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." The Bible teaches us in the Lord's Prayer. He says, amen, a part of it is, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Hallelujah. God's will is done in the heavens. But God's will is not being done in the earth unless we allow him. Unless
amen.
Let him come into our life. So know this also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. We are in the last days, church. We are in the last days. Many times they talk about the scoffers that it's the same as the beginning of the promise. He said, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. Men have become number one. Amen. Hallelujah. God's word teaches us that let this mind be in you that's in Christ Jesus. To take upon the things of others. But we've all become number one. We all can't be number one. Hallelujah. There's only one that can be number one, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We become lovers of their own selves. It's all about us. It's all about the number one. It's all about keeping them. He said they've become lovers of their own selves, covetous. You need to know tonight, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 6, hallelujah, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 6, in verse 24, it says, no man can serve two masters, for either will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Many people right now, amen, are going after the finances, going after riches, going after this and going after that. Amen. Hallelujah. The Bible says flee these things in 1 Timothy chapter 6. You need to know tonight you can't serve two masters. You can only have one master in your life. If it's not the Lord Jesus Christ, then you hate the Lord Jesus Christ according to his word. Too many of us have tried to serve riches. Too many of us have tried to go out, amen, and serve the mammon. Hallelujah. The Bible says if we serve the mammon, we'll hate Jesus Christ. Hey, hallelujah. We'll hold on to the mammon. We'll hold on to the riches. He said, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, or yet for your body. What ye shall put on, is not the life more than meat? There's more to your life tonight, church, than what you're going to eat tonight. There's more to your life. There's more to your life. He said, I've come that ye might have life and that more abundantly. John chapter 10. Hallelujah. He's come tonight. There's more to your life tonight, church, than what you're going to eat tonight. Many of you, you're made just saying, tonight is, what are you going to eat? Some of you don't even have anything to eat that I'm speaking to tonight. Some of you don't even know where your next meal is going to come from. But I can tell you from heaven tonight that there's manna coming from heaven tonight that will feed you. Believers will be fed, amen, if you begin to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, hallelujah. If you begin to believe in him, he says, your life is more than meat, hallelujah. Nor yet for your body what you shall put on is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment. You need to know something tonight. The body, your body is the temple of the living God. The Bible says, present your bodies a living sacrifice. You need to know tonight that the body that was created that you dwell in tonight was more than a coat rack, more than just put clothes on. Your life is much more than that tonight. Your body is much more than that. It's the temple of the Holy God tonight. And the Bible says, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather in the barns. Your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? What's he saying here? You know your heavenly Father feeds the fowls of the air. Do you know that your heavenly Father feeds those that do not sow or neither reap? But neither gather in the barns, but your heavenly Father feeds them. How much more are you tonight than the fowls of the air? God will feed you tonight, church. There's more to your life. There's more to your life than the meat for the belly. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Why are you taking thought for your clothes? What am I going to wear today? What am I going to put on this body? He said, consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? There's a God that will give you raiment. It'll be raiment of righteousness. He clothes the grass, even though tomorrow is going to be gone. Today, church, he's going to clothe you. He's going to clothe you with his righteousness. He's going to clothe you with the spiritual adorning, and not only will that, but in the natural realm. But there is a key to it tonight, church. He said, therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? You know, that's the question that they asked. That was the first thing. They come, and even when they come to him, what are we going to eat? What are we going to put on? What are we going to wear? What are we going to drink? Is that the major portion of your life tonight? Your major portion. There's been of you in the sound of my voice. That's exactly what you asked tonight. What am I going to eat tonight? What am I going to drink tonight? What am I going to wear today? Those were the clay. But you know what you should have asked? The Bible says, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek. In other words, the other nations sought for these very same things. For your heavenly Father knoweth what you have need of all these things. You know what? Your heavenly Father already knows that you need food. He knows that you need drink. He knows that you need raiment. He knows that you need clothes. But here's an instruction, verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, the will of God, and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Tonight, church, if you want all these other things, the first thing you got to do is seek the kingdom. The first thing you got to do is be in the Father's house. The first thing you got to do is seek his righteousness. He said, therefore, take no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto day is the evil thereof. Those of you that are taking thought for tomorrow, those of you that are taking thought for food, those of you that are taking thought for raiment, those of you that are taking thought that you're trying to serve two masters, and tonight, take no thought for tomorrow, because you know what? There's enough evil for today for you to think about. You need to take sufficient. In other words, you need to keep your mind upon Jesus Christ. The Bible says, I will keep thee in perfect peace, Isaiah 26:3, whose mind is stayed on thee and trusteth in the Lord. But here in the latter days, the Bible says they were covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. This is the sign of the latter days. This is what men will be. They'll love themselves. They'll desire all things that they can't have. They'll be boasters. They'll be proud. They'll be blasphemers. They'll be blaspheming the Holy Spirit. They'll be disobedient to parents, unthankful. You don't get any thanks anymore. Unholy, without natural affection. Amen. In other words, leaving the natural affection, amen, all the way around, men with men and women with women, truce breakers. They won't keep what they promise you. False accusers, incontinent, fierce despisers of those that are good. You know what? They'll come against you. If you're doing the good works, they're fierce despisers. They come against you fiercely. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God. I can't go to the house of God. I got to go over, and there's nothing wrong with going boating or going fishing or going here. There are many people choosing the pleasures rather than, hallelujah, coming to the house of God. You need to know tonight, amen, that Moses, a man by the name of Moses, who sat in the Pharaoh's house,
he had the pleasure of the world, chose the pleasure of the fishing with Christ rather than the pleasure of the world. And in fact, let me give you a thing. The Bible says in Psalm 16:11, in his presence is the fullness of joy. And at his right hand, amen, are pleasures greater and more, and he will show you the path of life. You want pleasures tonight? Are you ready for pleasure? How about ready for the pleasure of your Father? Where are they at tonight? They're at his right hand. If you have to come to his house and receive it, you have to come and get close enough and draw nigh to God, amen, and sit down with your Heavenly Father and sit in his right hand so that he can make all your enemies underneath your feet. Because he didn't make his enemies his footstool. He said, having no form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, and just turn away. There are people that look outwardly, apparently, like these are godly men, these are godly women. These, in every appearance of their life, that these are men and women that have come to God. But they're denying the very power, the miraculous power of the Holy Ghost. They're denying the very power of the Holy Ghost in their life. They're having a form. They're having a form. Just like in the poor time, because you had a form, but it hasn't been for you. These are people that have a form, but they don't have a substance. These are people that have a form, but look like. They act like. You know, tonight the Bible says that even Satan commands himself as an angel of light. There are many, amen. But you said in the right way, they do talk to you that history is the very elect of God. The Bible says, you can call him an election sure. And so then, thou shalt not fall. You shall minister unto you an everlasting entrance into the kingdom of God. Because where this work, Isaiah puts in the houses and leaves captive slaves, women, laying the king, where the Lord of God is lost. These people, these men of God are coming in, or these claiming these men of God, have a form of God. They're going into houses. See, different means. They're creeping in the houses. See, the king, they're creeping in the houses. See, communication, they're creeping in the houses, and they're taking the road. These women are already captive. They're being killed. They're being led away because these men have a form of godliness, but they're denying the power thereof. They don't have the Spirit of God. They don't have the promise of the Father. And just grows and grows and grows of people being led away captive by those that look like the Lord, look like they're godly, but they have no godliness at all. The Bible says, turn away from them. And they're learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. These are people that are ever coming. Tonight, are you in that position? Have you ever been coming to the knowledge of truth, if you've never arrived? But by the first now, James and James, which did Moses, so he used also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds reprobate concerning the faith. James and James, if you look in Exodus chapter 7, verse 11, you don't have to go there now, but that was due to the magicians that the Pharaoh called. And they put down their rods and their many things, magical things, amen. But the rod of Moses come and devoured their rod. Tonight, church, there are many that are doing a lot of magical, mystical things tonight. They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power of earth. They're staying away from the house of God. Church, you cannot stay away from the house of God. You cannot not be in his house. He says not yourselves, but send yourselves together as a man of sin, because you see the great day approaching. Jesus Christ is coming. Where is he going to come? The Bible says that judgment began at the house of God. Where shall the sin and ungodly appear? If you're not in the house of God, and I'm talking about physically, I'm talking about if you're not abiding in the house. He said in my Father's house, John chapter 14, are many mansions, because if you're not so, I would have told you. He said, I go to prepare a place that where I am, ye may be also. But let me ask you something. I'm going to turn back to the day of your work. The places are there. The things you're visiting, the things you're doing, is that where Jesus is going? Is that where Jesus, is he going in the places where you're going? Is he going in the hidden secret places where you're going? You drug addicts, you alcohol, baby, every time I go to committing adultery. Is Jesus going there? It's time for you to come home. Those of you, amen, that are in fornication right now, You need to make things right. You need to come to the house of the Father. Because you need to go tonight. You need to see the knowledge of truth. you been in the church. I know a ministry after me. I know 33 ministries right now. Amen. They have chosen the other master. They walked away from the ministry because it meant more to them. And they had a form of godliness, but now they're denying the power thereof. Don't think it can't get you tonight, church. None of us are exempt from it tonight. And tonight, I'm going to turn back to Brother Lewis. So have you come to the truth? Have you arrived? Because you are, if you haven't come to that knowledge of truth, and you're not coming to the Father's house, there remains no more sacrifice. You'll come to the place and say, where have you laid him? Church, where have you laid him tonight? Go ahead, Brother Lewis.
Praise the Lord. Brother John, appreciate you there. Appreciate the word that you brought forth. We're going to have Tim sing a couple of songs here. And then we'll get back to the word there. We'll give the prayer request.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Across my face.
no blessing past will be denied. Some morning in that yonder sea, I will awake to sleep no more. In God's presence, live forever. All sin and pain will all be yours. For there is no other fountain where I can be more satisfied.
That wonderful singing. We got some prayer requests here we're going to make known, so I want everybody to help us pray over them.
Danny Sizemore, Keith Green, Fred Branham, Kay Hurd, and Edith Hampton all have cancer. I'd like everybody to remember them. They really need a miracle. And Sister Hampton just had a 23-pound tumor removed from her body, and it was cancerous. So let's remember her tonight. Let's remember her husband, Clint, that has a lot of things wrong with him. Let's remember Betty and Stephanie tonight in our prayers. And let's pray for all the listeners out there that God will meet their needs, and all those that need to be saved, and the Kevin Miller family. And I seen it on the news today where a new federal tax was coming up on us. It's a wedding tax. If you're married, you're going to have to start paying a tax, a wedding tax. And if you get married, you have to pay a wedding tax. But if you just live together, then you don't have to pay it. So we really need to be praying about that. And let's pray for Brother Eddie tonight. He's been down in his back. Let's remember Sister Lynchfield and all of her needs. And let's pray for Tanya Honeybee. She called in and said that please pray for her husband that has left her, and he's moved out into another state, and she needs God to save his lost soul. His name is Jeff.
I get your car. Okay. So you've heard the prayer request there, so let's go to the Lord in prayer and pray for him there. Brother John, do you have any prayer requests?
Yeah, let's remember, continue to remember my son, Joshua and his family, Melanie, and the little girl, Hannah. And we've got a couple of people in our church that really need to trust in the Lord. The enemy's really been coming against him, attacking him, disappointed him, you know, the Lord to touch and move. And God is moving in quite a bit of our areas, and we just pray the Lord for what he is doing. It's just across the land. We're getting a lot of phone calls, a lot of requests. That it just seems really, you know, moving people to the brink. And so we just really need to lift one another up. Amen.
Amen. Sure do. Brother Green, do you have any prayer requests?
Yeah, just remember a friend of ours, she's got cancer, and her name is Florence, that God would touch and heal her. She's up in age, but I know God's still the healer, and he can heal her. And then I got many family members, nephews, nieces, some aunts and uncles need salvation, need to be saved, and just pray for the Green family, and the Lord knows who they are. That's
Amen.
All I have.
Okay, let's just go to the Lord in prayer then. Our Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we come before you right now, Lord. We thank you, Lord God, that we're able, Father, to come back once again. Lord, we bring each and every one of these requests to you, Father. Lord, that you touch them, Lord, that you will save, sanctify, and Lord, that you will fill with the Holy Ghost. And God, that you will just touch them, Father, Lord, and meet every need, every request, Father. Lord God, that you see them. Lord, that is lost, God, on their way to the devil's hell. Father, we just pray, Lord, that you will save them. And God, that you will sanctify and fill the Holy Ghost. Father, them that's sick and afflicted, God, we speak healing to them. We speak deliverance to them. Right now, Father, all the listeners, God, wherever that they may be, Lord, we just pray, Father, Lord, that you will reach down, God, and just touch them, Lord. And Lord, just touch them and heal them, Father. In Jesus' holy name. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' holy name. Thank you.
We pray.
Praise
you. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Brother Green?
Yeah.
You got anything else you want to say? Just go ahead and obey the Lord.
Now, Brother Yearwood, I don't have a lot more to say tonight. I didn't really prepare to get a message tonight, but, you know, I'm just, I don't know if Sister Green's got anything now to say or not, but if she does, yeah, she's coming now, Brother Yearwood.
Praise God. Good to be with y'all tonight, and thank the Lord for saving us and saving me back in 1993. And you know, I was thinking that this life that we've lived, Brother Yearwood, it's not in vain. And how,
Amen.
You know, the things that are coming upon the land in this here America, we were teaching Rachel today about history, and she's in the fourth grade, and we homeschool her, and you all know that, but a lot of people out there listening don't know that. And we were teaching her in how when the Americans, the not the Americans, but the people from Europe, and they came over, the pilgrims, and how they came over on the Mayflower, and how there was two groups, and one was called the Separatists, and the other one was called Strangers. And the Strangers, you know, they didn't come over for religious purpose, but they come over because some of them wanted a vacation, some of them wanted to find gold and silver and all, you know, but the Separatists, they wanted to come over for the freedom of religion. And you know, I thank God, you know, he saved me back in 1993, and we've got the freedom of religion to serve God, and I've served him for 20 years now, and I praise the Lord. I wouldn't go back for nothing, but I'm telling you tonight, it's still not too late. I believe as one of them tonight, I was listening there while y'all were preaching, the door of mercy still open. But one day it's going to close. And you know, if you come in here at the 11th hour, at the last hour, and your wages, praise God, it'll be the same wage as if you've served him for the last 20 years. And a matter of fact, as if you've served him all your life, if you give your heart to him, he will throw every sin away as far as the east is to the west. And you know, the east and the west will never come together. And so that means it will never be remembered again. Your sins will never meet. Praise God, as far as the east is to the west. Hallelujah. And you know, the wages that you would reap would be the wages as of mine, as if as you served him, like I said, 20 years. Your wages will be my wages. It's equal at Calvary. The ground is level at Calvary. You will have eternal life with him forever. But you know, I've been telling it all for this whole week. God has laid it on my heart to take no thought for tomorrow, for the things of tomorrow will take, praise God, thought for itself. Praise the Lord. And you know, he'll make a way. If he makes a way where it seemeth to be no way, all things are possible with God to them that believe. And you know, he will hide you in the cleft of the rock like he did Moses when terrible times are coming. And you know, chaos is upon the land right now. Gross darkness is upon the land like we've never never seen before, and like it never will be again. But, you know, I've been sounding the alarm, Brother John. I've been saying, church, get ready. People, get ready, because Jesus is coming. Oh, praise God. If the goodman of the house would have been watching, that would have been the robber, wouldn't have come in and broke up the house. Oh, I praise God. I didn't have nothing to say, but, you know, when I get started, I can't help for loving the Lord just a little bit more and telling us my heart's desire that someone get saved. If I could help you tonight, it's not too late to come in right now. Praise God, the door of mercy is still open. And he said to gather ourselves together. Praise the Lord. There's strength. We said it last week. There's strength in numbers. And one praying can send 1,000 demons to flight. And two praying in one mind, one accord can send 10,000s of demons to flight. If you resist the devil, he'll flee from you. God gave man his own will. Back at Adam and Eve in the garden, they had their own will. And you can do what you want. You can go down that road of destruction if you want to. But God said to choose ye life or death. And he said, I tell you to choose life. And I'm telling you tonight, you can choose life. You can avoid and you can omit that place called hell. That place was created for the devil and his fallen angels. It wasn't created for man, but I tell you, men is going there every day, every second of the day. They're going there because they chose to go down that broad way. And you've got a free will, and why don't you try him? You're in a free country if you're in the U.S. of A. You're in a free country to serve him. If you're in a third world country, you can still serve God. Praise the Lord. He'll make a way. And praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother Yearwood.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Appreciate that wonderful word there, Sister Green. I tell you what, God is still reaching out to us. He still have the mercy seat still open for us, and people needs to take heed what it is today and work while it's day, for nighttime cometh when no man can work. And I tell you, it's a time that we desire to seek God and see what God wants done. I tell you, we can read in his word, as I've done read it a couple of times tonight, but I feel like reading it again. In Hebrews 10 and 25, it says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the days approaching. You know, we see the day approaching of that, and I tell you what, I like this right here in Psalms 122 and verse 1. It says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go unto the house of the Lord. You know, I tell you what, it's time that we realize that we need to not to fail to assemble ourselves. We need to start seeking out the old paths and walking therein. You know, I've never seen a place where it's ever told me that I didn't have to go to church. All the places I see is telling me that I have to go to church. And David there saying, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I was glad, hallelujah, whenever I hear that the doors are open, time to go, because we can enter in to his courts with thanksgiving. We can enter in with our hands lifted up and giving him the praise and the glory and the honor, for the time has come that we can enter in, that we can go into his house and just worship him in spirit and in truth. There's too many today that don't want to go. Too many today is looking for another excuse, just like I brought out there earlier in the 14th chapter of Luke. Over there in the 14th chapter of Luke where they said, praise God, hallelujah. Just let me turn to it right there. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Just bear with me just for a minute. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 14th chapter of Luke and verse, let's see here, just a second. Well, let's see here. It's in the 14th chapter. I know that for sure. Praise God. Where's it at? It says, oh, yeah, I see it there. In verse 20, it says, and another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. You know, in talking about, read back up there in the 19th verse there, it says, and another said, I have bought five yoke of ox, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. You know, I praise God, and we can find there that man had bought him five yoke of ox, and he prayed to be excused. And the other one up there, he bought him some land, and he prayed to be excused. But if we notice, it was at a time of the supper. It was a time that the Lord had sent out and told him to come in. And, you know, praise God. Then that other one said, I have married me a wife, and therefore I cannot come. Praise God. They made excuses just whenever the Lord was telling them to come in to the house that it might be filled. But, you know, we can look on down through there and we can find where they went back to the Lord and said, Lord, it's all been done just like you said. But he said, there's room for more. There's room for more to come in. And praise God, I want you to know there's room to come into the Lord's house. There's never, like I've done said earlier in the service tonight, and like I've been saying the last three or four services that I've been in, there's room, praise God, to come in. And, you know, I look around through the church houses, and everyone that I look at, there's always a room for people to come in. Praise God, I've never seen where they're ever fighting in there to find a seat to sit in. They can walk in and they can find them a seat in all the churches that I've been in. I tell you, it's time that people fail not to assemble yourselves. It's time that people come back to the landmark and start seeking out the old path and start walking therein whenever it's time. I praise God to come into the Lord's house. He said it's time. There's still room. There's still room today, my friend, for you to walk into the Lord's house and make peace with God. That's our heart's desire as we reach out across this world telling you the good news. There's room in the Lord's house that you need to get into. Praise God. And I think Betty's got an announcement here. Praise God.
I want to make this announcement for our church. On October the 19th, 2013, from 3 to 8, it'll be on a Saturday, we're having a fall festival. We're having free food, hayride, cake walk, fellowship, and an old car show. So anyone in the area can come out and join us, and we'll be passing tracts out and witnessing to those that ain't saved.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So I want everybody to come out and be with us in them in that service. That's going to be October the 19th. 2013 is going to be starting at 3 o'clock in the evening and going to 8 o'clock at night. So, praise the Lord. They're saying we got 60 seconds left, so that's on Highway 68, New Highway 68 in Madisonville, Tennessee. It's on going towards Sweetwater out of Madisonville. It's about a mile or so out of Madisonville on the right-hand side. So if you don't have a church to go to, just come there and be there with us, and we'd be glad to have you at Madisonville Church of God. So God bless you, and we'll talk to you there next week.